As we are taking a break between series, we finished Revelation in May and going to start Matthew in August. Thought it'd be good to take some time to go through a couple of topics. So we've been dealing with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've broken down several of the verses over this period. Now we're going to put them all together and talk about what the church is all about and how we are to live. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians is a great overview of how we as individuals should live. It's a tremendous chapter on how we should react, how we should act, how we should do, how we should not do. And it is so, so enlightening. I don't know when I would get the opportunity to teach the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So I wanted to take 2 Corinthians 4 during a break, because you know, there's no telling how long a series will last at Antioch Bible Church. You know, could be a while. But I kind of figured we got into a rapture, so why worry? Amen? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you will move me out of the way. That you have the freedom to do and say whatever to whomever. Father, for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. In your Son's most holy, victorious, and precious name we pray. We all say, praise God. If you heard an amen, you know they're visiting. While I was there in Greece, because of the study of the last 12 years or so, and especially going through the book of Revelation the last 3 years, there was a fella that stood up. There were several seminars during the conference that I wanted to go and listen and take. It was a fella from Romania was teaching. His family was one of the richest families in Romania when he was a young boy. And in one day, one moment, in 10 minutes of his life, he went from being one of the richest families in the whole country to being totally in poverty. The communists pulled up with trucks, knocked their door down in the morning, came in and gathered them all up and said, you can't take anything, you can't take any money, you can't take any clothes, you can't take any possessions, you got what's on your back, go get in the truck. And they lost everything. And he talked about what Christ had done in his life of helping him to get over that hatred of what they had done to him and his family. And he gave a definition that really stuck with me, and why he believed the church is as weak as it is in the Eastern Bloc countries, and I think it is the same here in America. He said the church is caught up in tradition. He says Christians is caught up in tradition. And he said, let me tell you what my definition of tradition is and what my definition of a traditionalist is. And it so impressed me that I said I wouldn't forget it, because I believe it's so true. He said tradition is the living faith of dead people. Amen? Just think about that statement. Tradition is the living faith of dead people. And it's really true. Just oftentimes, tradition that has been passed down by those that are dead may not have lined up with Scripture. But because it's been taught so long, we think it is true. And we'll carry on that tradition even though the Bible doesn't push it. He's a traditionalist, a person who lives tradition on another man's faith that is dead. A traditionalist is living people living off a dead faith. So you don't have a faith of your own. Your faith is based off of what someone else has taught you, regardless if it's biblical or not. You know what? If we look at churches and we look at our lives as individuals, we have to come to the conclusion that those statements are quite true. 90% of what you and I know about God has come from someone else. Very few of us get in the Word of God and study for ourselves. Very few of us come to convictions that we have been convicted by the Word of God. We have convictions that's based upon our parents. We have convictions that's based upon our Sunday school teaching, our church. We have convictions based off our denominations. But very seldom do I really get my deep down basic convictions off of the Word of God. Thus, it makes us very narrow-minded. You see, I know it's hard to believe. And again, maybe it's not hard to believe. But do you know that I can be a very selfish person? Surprising. I can be seriously selfish. I like my way. Do you know that if it was left up to me, I want everything about Antioch to be black? I like being black. I grew up being black. I know that surprised some of you. If it was up to me and I get my way, man, I want it black. I want people to walk black. Act black. Be black. Want black music? Gospel. I could be very selfish until I read the Bible. Until I read the Bible. All of a sudden I realized just because I'm black don't make me right. And I got to take all my blackness, all my life, all I want. And I got to make it line up with Scripture. And it doesn't matter. You see, there's some other things you got to figure out. Some of you were raised white. I know that's hard to believe too. And some of you want all the church to be white. You want everybody to act white. You want the music to be white. You want traditions in the church to be white. Because you was raised white. Until you read the Bible. Amen. Then you start realizing just because you're white don't make you right. And what the Scripture has to say is more important than what you think. And there's some of you here that are other minorities that's been raised by your ethnic ways. You've been raised that you've been put down and you haven't been treated right in America. And you have extra special causes. And everyone should understand that you've been put down and you've been treated unfairly. So even if you're wrong, you're still right. Until you read the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you realize just because I've been mistreated don't make me right when I think the way I do because of my mistreatment. And I got to line up with what the Bible says, whether you are black or whether you're white or whether you're something else. You got to come to the conclusion that God says, think of others as being more important than you. You know what? I don't like that. Just because I have a tendency to think that I want it my way is the very warning of God that I am to put my way aside. The very reason that I want music to be this way is the very thing God has told me. I can't have it that way because you want your way instead of what's best for someone else. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but do you understand that I not only want it my way in the church, I want it my way at home. Yeah! I do. Can't hear you. As a matter of fact, when I walk in the house, I want everyone to go, whoa! Daddy's home. I even want my wife to call me Daddy. Big Daddy. Hey, baby. I'm so selfish. I want it my way in the home. Until I read the Bible. Amen. Reading the Bible will mess you up. God must have wrote it. Amen. God will mess up a selfish person. You know, God told me I am to love my wife as he loved the church. What's wrong with that man? He tells me that I'm the one that's supposed to be the servant in the home. I want to be served. What are you talking about? Just the fact of being human saying that I want it my way tells me immediately I got to put down my way and do what's best. Just because I'm tired. I don't know if I'm tired. I was flying after 8 days of speaking from eternity to eternity trying to get home from Greece. And we have new members picnic over my house. Soon I get back. I'm tired. Do you think I want 100 people at my house? I can't hear you. But who is it about? Is it about me? Or is it about serving those people who sang, we want to join this church and let them know they're loved and they are welcome, even though I'm tired sitting between a whole bunch of people that don't like me by the time we get where we're going. And the whole plane was full, so they couldn't go nowhere else. Just the fact of me saying, I want it this way, I'm comfortable this way, makes me know I'm wrong. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Tells me exactly how we are to live as individuals, as a church. I'm going to read the whole chapter, then we're going to break it down. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a good thing I got this whole chapter memorized, because I can't see a word on this page. I'm going to be 50 years old next month. And 34 of those years, I've been a Christian. I became a Christian my senior in high school at age 16. Graduated from high school at 16. Went off to college. All my adult life of making decisions on my own has been based on the Word of God. And all those decisions after 34 years of studying the Word of Scripture tells me one thing. Very few of us make our decisions based on Scripture. And after turning 50 next month, I am going to get myself some glasses. But they're going to be cool. Because even deep down, I'm still kind of vain. After all the molding and beating of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's amazing. So it's a good thing I do know this chapter. Amen. Because y'all will be hearing something way out there by now. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen? Bless the reading of God's word. It is always good. But I want to tell you something. That is a bunch of great words. And that's all it is if you don't live it. What some powerful statements to be lived, not just to be said. And if you understand what those 18 verses are saying to you and I as a believer, an individual, and as a collective force, then you begin to understand what the church is supposed to be and how you and I as believers don't get burned out. Do you know how many Christians burn out? Can't hear you. A fire. How can a fire burn out? The fire don't burn out. What feeds the fire burns out. And the fire automatically dies. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. What do you think that's saying? Paul is saying, listen, because we have this ministry, we have what God has given us, we have the truth that we must live, and we have received it through mercy. If we know we received it through mercy, nothing can burn you out. We have this ministry as a church to let the world know that Jesus Christ is still alive. He does well on planet Earth. And we faint not because we have received this ministry, not by our own efforts, not by our education, not by our intelligence, not by how we do things, but we have received the ministry that we have in this church and in your life as individuals by the mercy of God. Oh, can you get excited about what God has given us through his mercy when we didn't even deserve it, and to be used by God internationally, worldwide, in a little bitty place in Redmond, Washington, that no one even knew about, had this guy who's never ever been to seminary as one of their pastors? That's mercy. How in the world can I ever burn out knowing that? For we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You see, what God is saying, since we have this ministry, we got to eliminate hidden agenda. I can't be going around telling you one thing and believing another. I have renounced that. I don't walk in craftiness. You see, I am glad that I don't have any degrees when it comes to being trained. Because I am self-taught, got in the book and studied it for myself. And that eliminates anyone else in here from having an excuse for not knowing what the Word of God says. I can't depend on the world craftiness. I can't. Can't hear you. Nor do I handle the Word of God deceitfully. I can't walk in craftiness. I can't handle the Word of God deceitfully. When it says it, I gotta preach it. Can't hear you. You may not like it. Take it up with God. I didn't write it. I just promised I was going to preach it. And then I have to live it. By the manifestation of the truth. Whose truth? By the manifestation of the truth. Whose truth? Your traditional truth? By the Baptist truth? Oh, Methodist truth. The Presbytery, not the Presbytery. How about the charismatic truth? By the manifestation of God's truth, we're going to be what God has said, that we make ourselves, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in God's sight and for his sake. When we talk about being a church, when we talk about being Christians here at Antioch, it's about doing it in the face of God. We don't do it just to people that's like us. We're committing ourselves to every man's conscience. Guess who's involved with every man? Every man. Are you a person, are we a church that can draw all men unto God? You see what I'm saying? When we commend ourselves to every man's conscience, we must do everything in the body to draw all people here. Thus, I can't sit around and say, I just want black music. You can't say, I just want white music, even if you're black. Because there's so many people in our country that's so confused, they don't know what they are anymore. Women don't know they're women, men don't know they're men. Unisex. Please, at best, I'm going to be an ugly woman. Don't laugh. What does it mean, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God? Let me tell you, this is what's so amazing to me. After 17 years, 17 and a half, almost 18 years, October, 18 years of preaching what the church is all about, some of us here at Antioch don't even get it. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those that don't believe. Folks, if you're having a difficult time understanding what the church is all about, I would be worried. Because you are blinded. I'm just showing you what the Word of God says. You're either blinded by not wanting to know, or you're blinded by the enemy, or you're blinded by the fact of your traditions or your color. Or you're blinded by verse number 4. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Don't be worried. If you have been in church for years and years and years, and you still can't see what Christ's bride is supposed to be about, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for being blinded. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves as your servants. Whose servant? The servants of all men's conscience. Isn't that amazing? I guess not. People just looking at me. You see, it is so important for you and I to come to the conclusion that God did not call the church just to be about the church. God did not call the church just to be happy with just meeting on Sundays and Wednesdays. God did not call the church just to be another institution. God called the church to be the institution, to be an example to all other institutions on how institutions are supposed to do it. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. Are you flowing with me here? You see, the church is a powerhouse. For God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness and to shine in our hearts. Are you flowing with me? Oh, this is so powerful stuff. God says, I have given you the light, and you aren't supposed to hide the light inside by your just having Sunday school, just by being here, and just by doing spiritual things, but you ought to get out there so the world can see what the light's all about. We are troubled on every side. Folks, you know it's so amazing to me. If you do something, whatever you do, somebody's going to be mad at you. Can I get an amen on it? I mean, if I do it this way, someone find something wrong with it. If I do it totally the opposite way, the one that would agree with me over there going to find I'm wrong over here. And if I don't do anything, everybody's mad at you. I'm trouble on every side. But I'm not distressed. People just think, man, you own something. I'm on Jesus. He's better than any pill. There's pills to speed you up, pills to slow you down. Pills to get you up when you're down and bring you down when you're up. There's pills for high blood pressure, pills for low blood pressure. There's pills for no blood pressure. Ain't nothing in the world like pill Jesus. Nothing. Because I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed that people will get mad at you for standing on what truth is. For doing what's right. Do you realize last week I get back from flying, minding my own business, and they call me to be on the radio to do an interview, and I got blasted for standing up against black pastors who are wrong. I don't care who you are, what color you are. I am not. See, I'm going to tell you what the biggest problem with most black pastors. Most black pastors see themselves as black men. I see myself as a man. Just happen to be black, won't forget my blackness, enjoy my blackness, have some blast when I'm with white or black people. Don't have to pretend like I am what I am, and don't want to pretend like I'm not what I'm not. I like me. I really do. Even if you don't like you, I like me. And the only reason most of us want other people to change is because we don't like who we are. Hey, man, oh, the guy called, you look at you, you black man on a white radio station. You letting these white people use you. Black people don't like you. I said, get a clue. White people don't like me either. I stand against white people too if they're wrong. I don't care what color you are. My life has been called to live right. And if you're black and you're right, I'm with you, baby. I go with you all the way. If you're right and you're black, I go with you all the way. If you're yellow, brown, pink, polka dot, purple, blue, turquoise, if you're right, I stand with you. But if you're wrong, I don't care what color you are. I'm against you. That's what Christ demands. And we got too many white people that want to be white all the time. We got too many black people who think the world owes them something. I'll tell you what the world owes you, and that is to show you the way to Jesus Christ. But they can't do it because half of them don't know it either. Persecuted. How can you get a guy that can be persecuted like crazy? How can you get rid of a church that can be persecuted like crazy and feel, I'm not forsaken? Huh? Can you get someone down that you can beat down? But say, hey, I'm not forsaken. I got the same God on my side that started before the persecution did. Can be cast down by your own leadership and not destroyed. Can't hear you. Ooh, do I have anybody here can get excited with me? No, I'm talking about. See, that's the church. That's what the church is all about. That's what the Christian is all about. Man, when we learn what God has made us as Christians, you'll start living it, walking it, proud of it. Because it's not about you. It's the mercy we received in this ministry. You see, that's why I want to build a men's ministry here at Antioch. A men's ministry that's second to none. Now, ladies, I'm not leaving you out. But if I try to build a women's ministry, I'm going to be classified as a womanizer. Amen. I'm going to work with men. And we're going to be men of men. So you're going to be treated right, ladies. I want to be of some serious men who can say as I said in verse 7 and 8. Nine. We're not forsaken. We're not distressed. We're not in despair. We can't be destroyed. I want men that'll walk with me in a Ku Klux Klan meeting with gasoline underwear on. Get that match out. Get that match out. Man, we're bad enough to walk into a Ku Klux Klan meeting like that. We can walk in our jobs. We can walk in our house. We can walk down the street. Why? Verse 10. Look at verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that also the life of Christ may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. do you think about that? What do you think about a church that says, we're dying every day to ourselves? We're burying the life of Jesus Christ. It's not about me. A church that truly believes is not about us. But we got so much confidence that people don't know us will never believe that about us. Let me ask you a question. What do you think your home would be like? I want you to imagine. What would your home be like if everybody in the house is constantly dying to themselves and thinking everybody else in the house is more important than they are? No hidden agenda. Not walking in craftiness. Not using the Bible to beat someone else over the head to get their own way. What do you think that house would be like? People would be running there just to be a part of that family. The children would be bringing their friends home because they don't want to leave home. I mean, this is where it's at. Well, we'll go over to your house for a little while, but that's only because you got to come back to my house. See how we live over here. What if a church was like that? Nobody gathering around all the like minds around themselves so they can feel comfortable. I want to ask you guys a question. The people that hang around you, have you noticed they all think like you do? Can hear you. You right here in the church. Do you have a group of people that hang around you because they think the same way you do financially? And if the church isn't doing it your financial way, they help you talk about how bad the church is doing it? How many, a bunch of you hang around each other that like the same kind of music? Huh? Have you noticed that you gather around? And so when you talk about the music at the church, they all join in and tell you how bad they don't like the music at the church? Are you the kind of person that draws everyone around you so when you start complaining, they go, wait a minute, I like that other kind of music. Why? What's wrong with you? Am I not as good as you? Can't hear you, church. So then, death works in us that life may be in you. Boy, is that not what the church is supposed to be? Is that not what God has called you and I to be? Is that not how we are supposed to live? I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I've studied this for 34 years. And I'm willing to be taught differently if you can prove it by the Bible. I change my view right now if you can show me scripturally. Don't bring me with no traditions. Don't bring me no color, your theology, because of your color. Bring it because that's what the Word says. And I will change immediately. But if you can't do it with the Word, I'm too far gone. Why? Easy. We have the same spirit of faith as it is written. I believed, therefore have I spoken. You see, when it comes to what I believe the Bible teach that the church ought to be, I speak it. You say you also believe, therefore you got to speak. You hear what, you see the verse? Are you flowing with me? Why is it that you and I, if we believe, are so afraid to tell others out there in the world what we believe? They're not afraid to tell you what they believe. Christians are nuts. You're narrow-minded. I said, you know what? I want to be the only man with my wife. That's pretty narrow-minded. But it's right. And I'm going to be the only man with her. Only woman with me.
pretty narrow-minded. But that's just the truth. And if the Bible got some truth in it that says this is the way it's supposed to be, it could be as narrow-minded as it wants to be. I'm going with the Word. I'm awfully narrow-minded. I want every airplane I get on to have two wings. I'm not going to say, take one of those wings off. I want to experiment. Can't hear you. Woo! We got to get out of here, don't we? But there's no third service. That little boy said, yeah. Get me out of here, Pastor. Just for that, I'm going to be here for 3 more hours. Now, here we go. What color is that kid anyway? Let me tell you. Okay. He's just cracking up over there. He said, that pastor's crazy, Mom. If we believe, we got to speak. Knowing. We got to speak because we know. Now check this out. We know that he who raised the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also and present us with you. How can we go wrong when we know this? It is just... Read with me. Or as I quote, read with me. For all things are for your sakes. I love this. This is the whole view of the church. Why do we do what we do? It is not about us. It is about others. It is for their sakes. Why do we not... Why is it that Annie, I can never be just totally sold out to what we do inside the church? You know, so many people go, man, you're a church. You're getting too involved with outside stuff. You're getting too social active. Wait a minute. How can you get too socially active when you're the salt of the earth? We're the salt of the earth. What does that mean? We only get in the salt shaker in the church? It means that we go out from what we're taught here by the Word of God. We do not compromise the Word of God. You see that every Sunday. We teach the Word of God every Sunday. I hold you to the Word of God, train you in the Word of God, hold you to a biblical standard while we're here so you can get out of here and go do the same in the world. That's what it's all about. And that's why you don't see me giving invitations every Sunday. Pastor, why don't you give some invitations? But we love you to give. That's not the purpose of the church service. Unless that's the message for that day. Read your Bible. Get out of tradition. The purpose of the Sunday service is to feed the sheep. Those that already belong to God. It is not to win those that don't belong. That's your job when I feed you and you leave. I'm going to follow the Bible. The reason why so many churches give evangelistic messages is because they don't know the Bible enough to teach the sheep. They can only teach non-believers. God said, my job. The pastor's job that belongs to this church is to feed and train the sheep that already belong to God. One thing I learned about my animals, if I keep them healthy and keep them fed, I always have babies. I don't have to train my dogs anything about having puppies. Just keep them healthy, keep them fed. They manage all by themselves. Sometimes too much. Don't even have to do that with my horses. Just keep them healthy. Keep them fed. They're going to find ways to produce more horses. And in my job as the pastor and the pastor of this church is not to evangelize every Sunday. You've already been evangelized. What am I going to do? Give you a double warranty? Goodness. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. God says, if I stay in the word of God and renew my mind every day, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, I don't get lost about what the church purpose is, what the Christian's purpose is, what we're supposed to be doing as a church and as Christians in the church, and what we're supposed to do when we come together. Regardless of what someone else says, I am obedient to the light of the Lord. Why? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Can't hear you. Working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How in the world can I ever get upset when I'm preaching for eternity, training for eternity, getting people in the temporal to go get other people in the temporal to get ready for the eternal? And regardless what someone does right now, if they don't pat me on the back, I don't work for right now. I work for eternity. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm going to tell you something, it just gets me. See, if I don't look at the temporary perspective, it don't bother me. Because, you know, people come up, Pastor, we got a problem. What is it, bro? We got three families that left. They don't like what we're talking about. Wow. We just had 35 yesterday join the church. Amen. They get it. To the three, bye. If they want to dictate what this church is going to do, bye. I can't hear you. We're working for eternality. And before I go crazy and not get the vacation, because I had a serious stroke in the pulpit, I want to give you a little saying I want you to take with you today. When Microsoft first started, many people left. They didn't like Bill Gates. Thought he wanted to monopolize. And he was an egotistical maniac. And they left before they became known as they are today. And Bill Gates made a lot of people physical millionaires. Can't hear you. Physical millionaires. I want to give you a little saying right now, which I leave you with. If you think we're doing church wrong, leave. But if you stay with us, I promise to make you a spiritual millionaire.